Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by James Maloney.
I already went through that phase, all right, of being teased. You know, it's been a distinct privilege, really a privilege. Back in 2005, the Lord impressed upon us, actually it was 2003, and Colin Urquhart had asked me to minister in a conference, and I thought, oh, that's awesome, because I'd had Pastor Colin come to Dallas, Texas at Christ for the Nations, and he spoke for a week, and so then he invited me, you know, 6 months later or whatever, the conference there in 2003, and they picked me up from the hotel, and as soon as my foot touched the ground there at the Revival Center, God said, you're going to move here. And of course, after a couple of minutes of rebuking the devil, no, I realized, you know, it was the Lord. And just about a year later, we had another conference in 04, and then just the first part of 05, my wife and I, my daughter and my grandson, we moved to Rafi, and for a little over 3.5 years, we taught there, as many of you know that. And I wanted to stay longer, but I couldn't due to the fact that the immigration demanded that I leave. I mean, they made it very clear, we will arrest you if you stay any longer after such and such a date. And the reason why, my grandson began to develop special needs, autistic, and they really did not want to take the responsibility to oversee his health, which I wasn't asking them to do so. It's just that they didn't want to. That's your socialistic system. But anyway, not really, it's another tease. No, it really is. But anyway, you know, sadly to say, you know, honestly, my family comes first. But sadly to say, we didn't want to leave. We really didn't. We love it here. I do. I mean, I love it here. My wife loved it as well, but we just had to oversee our grandson and my daughter who was going to nursing school, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's been my privilege over the last few years to come periodically. And how could you not want to come back to Scarborough? Hello. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, this is, you know, if you would have said Bradford or something, but, you know, Scarborough, all right? I could get in trouble, huh? That's a rough place, okay? you know, it's just great to be here. Thank you so much for your hospitality. And, you know, I went through my phase of razzing and teasing, and, you know, so I feel right at home. That was a few years ago, but Paul continuously does that, so I don't know what that means. But, oh, well, I appreciate that, Paul. Anyway, I was with a gentleman named Randy Clark. He's got a wonderful healing ministry. In fact, we ministered just a couple years ago in Sheffield, and maybe some of you were there, and I went to the Bible College in Pennsylvania, and they got a wonderful student body there, and I was teaching on various aspects of the anointing, and also had a conference in healing, and we had a couple of pretty dramatic miracles, quite dramatic, visible. It just really rocked those students. One in particular, I believe, and, you know, secretly in his heart, he was saying, boy, I would love to travel with this guy or just glean or whatever. And I get a phone call from Randy Clark, and he says, do you mind for his third year of internship that he could travel with you? I said, well, sure. Well, that was 3 years ago. and I can't get rid of this Arminian. But what I like for Dr. PhD John David to do is come up and just say hi and just share from his heart for just a few moments or however long he wishes to do so. So let's welcome Pope John David the First.
Thank you very much, Pope. Man, that could catch on there. Whew. Yes, but it has been an amazing ride, I have to say, from the first time I saw you minister, the first time this little girl had a condition, and it stunted her growth, and she was about 5 years smaller than she should have been, you know, size wise, and you know he starts calling out everything. He's like, there, you know, he starts calling out everything, all these conditions. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, kind of like what you saw the other night when he did Panorama. And then he says, you know, and God's healed you of this condition. And then he says, and I just feel like God is going to restore your stature as well, because she was a lot smaller than she was supposed to be. And then he says, and I think God's going to do it right now. And I'm like poking my wife, are you kidding me? He's not saying what I think he's saying, is he? And he was. He puts his hand on this girl who's about at the belt buckle. He starts, everybody just pray, you know. And it's just, and this girl just starts stretching out right before my eyes. Grows like, I don't know how, from belt to, you know, button up here. Right in front of my eyes. How are you the same after seeing something like that? Just messes you up, right? You just can't go on with life as normal. You're wrecked. You're ruined. I'm ruined. You've ruined me. God is so good. I'm excited for tonight just about what you're going to receive, because I know how meaningful it is, because I know how meaningful it is to my life. My life in the healing ministry has been up until, you know, somewhat recently, a life of frustration. I prayed for, you know, close to 30 years for people to get healed and hardly saw anything. I pray for people, they wouldn't get better, they'd get, you know, worse, or they would die or anything. And I was just like, God, what is going on here? You know, I know your word says to heal. I always believed in healing. I was never a cessationist, even though I grew up evangelical. I always believed it was God's will to heal, but I'd pray and pray and nothing. And then he would die. And, you know, finally my dad got sick and I had to watch him suffer and die. He went from, he had cancer and it spread, and he went from a stick cane to a walker to a wheelchair to bedridden to a coma to death. And I had to watch all, go through that. I was like, God, you know, part of me died when my dad died, I have to say. Probably part of me that needed to die. And I said, God, I love you, and I'm going to still serve you, but I give up on this healing ministry. It's too painful. It's just too painful to pray for the sick and not see them recover. And don't you know God is amazing? I said, I got with a missionary friend of mine in Mexico, started hearing about healings and miracles. He said, yeah, there's healings going on in the United States. And there's stuff. I go, really? He says, yeah, yeah. You know, because I just hadn't seen it. That was part of my problem. You know, I hadn't been around it. My faith was, you know, I was praying out of my soul for people to be healed rather than out of the spirit. You don't get anywhere when you pray out of your soul. It's a mind game, right? And we find out about this meeting. And Bill Johnson and my wife, we go. And he calls out, my wife had had a very serious knee problem. She'd been in an accident, and her knee was just busted up. She could barely walk. She was going to need knee surgery. We're going to have to buy a one-story house. It was chronic, over 10 years. And, I mean, we were just hungry. Like, God, heal. I just want to see somebody get healed. I just want to see you move. Because every healing, it's a demonstration of God's goodness. You know, when you see somebody gets healed, you're seeing God enter that person. You're seeing that person connect to God. He calls out this word, and he says, there's someone here that's been in an accident over 10 years ago and is still suffering the effects of it. My wife, she was like a spring. She bounced up so quickly to receive that. And they said, just pray for those people near you. And boom, power of God hits her knee, and she gets completely healed, like a totally reconstructed knee. That was the start of it. That happened before I saw Dr. Maloney for the first time. That healing completely changed our life. I know what it's like. This is life-changing. And those of you that got ministered to, that got touched, that got healed, your lives are never the same. You're ruined. Once you experience God's goodness in that way, you can't go back to just life as normal. You're done. That's it. And you just want more and more of God. You want people to experience more of God. I'm excited about tonight because you're going to enter in. And so then I started, oh, God, you're real. And it started rekindling. Finally, my spirit man started getting, finally it got something charged up, right? My soul had locked my spirit man up, right? Because I was praying out of my soul. Everything was soul. And finally, when my wife's knee got healed, God is real. God is good. I mean, I always believed in him, but had I experienced him like that? No. I mean, that's a tangible experience of God when you have a healing like that. And then I saw Dr. Maloney, got around him, received what you're going to receive tonight, impartation. He laid hands on me, and everything shifted from that moment. Then I started walking in the gift of faith, the gift of discernment of spirits, just started seeing just massive healings from that point onward. I can't tell you the first time I had a word of knowledge and gave it and somebody got healed. It was just like years of frustration in the healing ministry just getting washed. Like, finally. Thank you, God. I knew the problem wasn't God. I knew it was me, but I didn't know how to fix me. I had to be around the anointing. I had to be around someone who was walking in the Spirit so my spirit man could be supercharged. See, Ephesians 3:17 says, out of the riches of his glory may your inner man be strengthened with mighty power. So my spirit man got a boost. That's what's going to happen to you tonight. Your spirit man's going to get a boost, and your soul's going to lose hold. And, you know, not long ago, I had a dream the Lord showed me. And I was in a healing meeting like this, ministering. And God would just highlight people and point them out. And I would say, hey, God's just pointing you out right now. You know, God's just highlighting you right now. And, you know, I'd say, like, test it out. You know, that person needed healing. And as soon as they would start testing it out, it was like they were in water. It's like they were moving around and slow. Like, they teach us in conducting this. Conduct like you're conducting through water, which is interesting. And everybody around them would be getting healed also, not just that person that got pointed out. And I was like, God, this is amazing. This is awesome. And I look down at my own leg, and it's completely like twisted and mangled. I'm like, oh, God, I need healing. This is horrible. Looking down at my leg, you know, this was in a dream. And I said, my God, I need you. And all of a sudden, I just felt the presence of God on me that was there to heal. And I hear this voice say, take it fast. And I said, what? I feel the print. Okay. And I just stretched out my leg, and it got completely healed. And I started running around, overjoyed. And then I woke up. I was like, God, what is that? What was that all about? I said, that was an awesome dream. I knew it was God. I mean, it was just so clear. I don't get dreams like that very often. And he said, you need to teach my people to receive healing quickly. When my presence is there and my glory is there, to take it fast. Not delay. In other words, seize the moment. Do not delay. See, my wife, she took it fast. As soon as that word got called out, boom, she sprang up and got it. She didn't hesitate. One of the opposite things of faith is hesitation. God has taught me to teach people not to hesitate, to take it quickly. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. She grabbed the moment. She didn't hesitate. She took it fast. The two blind men, they started crying out, Son of God, have mercy. They took it fast. They grabbed a hold of what was there. God's timing for you, for our healing, is yesterday. You see? We always say, oh, maybe it's my time. Maybe this is my time. Your time was long ago because he's the healer. So as soon as the presence is there, the glory is there, you enter into it and you take it fast. So during your impartation tonight, you know, I'm not saying you just receive it. Just believe that you receive and you have it. You know, they'll be like, well, I sort of felt something. Maybe something happened. I'm not sure if it happened or not. You know, when he prays, you know, if you need healing tonight, when he lays hands on you for impartation, just receive healing in your body. Just take it. Take it fast. Don't hesitate. You know, we give a word of knowledge sometimes. Someone's like, you know, well, my pinky needs healing, but it needs healing here. And that person had the word of knowledge for this section right here. But I'm supposed to be I need healing here. So that word must not be for me. That's not taking it fast. That's talking yourself out of a miracle, is what that is. Okay, that's letting your soul take over rather than entering in and receiving all the Lord has for you. I love Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. One version says, forceful men lay hold of the kingdom. You know, I wasn't very forceful those 30 years, and I didn't get very much. But when I did finally get around it, it was like I needed it. I grabbed it, you know, and I'm still grabbing hold and laying hold. And Dr. Maloney's been such a blessing to my life. You know, none of this would be, you know, I get the privilege of seeing these miracles all the time. And it's such a blessing. I get the privilege of seeing, I mean, those things, those miracles that we saw. It's life-changing. Incredible. And tonight, I'm just going to enjoy you entering in. As a matter of fact, I was the same way. This is not like Mr., I don't know that an angel showed up in my room when I was born and that words were spoken from the moment I was born that you would have a healing ministry and walk in healing. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm you is what I'm saying. Right? But see, it's when you're in the presence of glory, everything changes. And you become the spirit being that God created you to be, Christ in you, right? Galatians says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I died, you died, now it's Christ in John. Amen. It's not Pope John, it's Christ in John. See, now it takes all the pressure off when I minister to people. It's just Christ in me. That's one person, that's a new creation. Christ in John. Christ in Paul. Christ in Kate. Your name is Christ in Kate. Who healed you? If somebody gets healed when you prayed for them, it was Christ and Paul that healed you. It's Christ and John. See, you're a new creation. And you're going to enter into the reality of that tonight as you receive impartation from Dr. Maloney. Just believe that you receive. It's not complicated. Don't talk yourself out of it, is what I'm saying. Seize the moment. Take it fast. And enjoy being a son of God, Christ in you. Amen. It's time we start entering into all that God has for us, right? And live as sons, because that's his will. His will was not for me to pray for 30 years and not see people get healed. That was me. That was my poor timing. You know? That was me just being soulish all those years. But now the opportunity is here for you in this moment, tonight, to seize and lay hold of all that the Lord has for you. To begin to walk in this. Begin to feel the glory and begin to feel the kingdom of God within you erupting and emerging. It's wanted to come out for so long. Those 30 years, it was like the kingdom was like, just wanting to come out and heal. But it wouldn't because I was so soulish and like, you know, I wasn't around the glory. It's a special night tonight and I'm so excited for you. So without further ado... Pope James Edward is in the house. Let's give a warm and wonderful welcome. Thank you all so much.
You know, I don't feel any pressure at all. You know, he's a good brother. Good Armenian / Persian. He doesn't think he's a Persian, but he is. You know, the Persians, they went into Armenia and recaptured it and made it Persian, but he doesn't agree with that, so that's okay. But look at him.
Armenian.
Okay, all right. When he talks about impartation, what he's really saying, and what I sense tonight, for some of you, there is going to come forth a healing impartation. Possibly it was already initiated over this weekend, but it will be completed tonight. This happens hundreds of times when we minister. But also when we talk about impartation, we're talking about certain attributes of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, you can read this in Exodus 30 and other references, and I'll just briefly just elaborate on them, how that Moses was instructed to prepare a particular oil. It was called the holy, as you know, the holy anointing oil. And there were principal spices that were required to be intermixed with the oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, because the oil enhanced the fragrance, enhanced the seasoning or the spices of the holy anointing oil. Each spice has an allegorical representation of what is to be imparted within your spirit, certain attributes of the Holy Spirit, certain attributes of the Lord, to be seen, heard, recognized. But there's, in a few moments, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to confirm His word, because something truly happens in the realm of the Spirit when we honor and have an understanding of what those particular spices are and how the Holy Spirit enhances it. And I don't know if we have any oil here tonight, do we? Okay, so we can anoint with oil. For you that are in need of healing or the completion of your miracle, this is a great time to make that point of contact, as we phrase it, and let God seal it and complete it. Amen? The rest of you, in fact, all of us for that matter, but for the rest of you, you may not need healing. Tonight, it's going to be fun. It's, but it's also going to be very, very enriching. The best illustration I could give you was when I was 19 years of age, and I was in Bible school, and I figured, what better place to learn how to prophesy but in Bible school? I was a student. I mean, you know, you got 900 students that are seeking God's plan and purpose for your life. I mean, I figure that's the best place to learn how to prophesy. So what I did was, in my very shy demeanor and personality, I just started stepping out, you know. And as I stepped out, I you know, some of you may think, well, you already had the word before you called the person out. No. The word never came to me until after I called the person out. And I begged God, God, what do you, you know, I felt impressed, like He was saying, someone was just impressed to me. And so I would stand there and say, okay, Lord, give me the word. And the Lord would just impress upon me, no, call him up. Then I'll give you the word. I mean, how would you like to be in that position? You've been there, like, all right, so I call the person up, and what do I do now? Just say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord what? It never would come. Then I'd say, thus saith the Lord. Then it would start dropping down upon me or rising up, and these words would start forming on my lips, and I would just start proclaiming. And back in that day, I probably prophesied over 500 students. 500 out of 900, honestly. And I'm the only student in 40-some year history of Christ for the Nations that they have permitted for a student to just go at any time, anywhere, and prophesy the word of the Lord. It was just a rare thing, and it was God, and I learned an awful lot, and I appreciate all the teachers and the administrators that permitted it. But it was a great learning curve, and some of the words, I mean, you know, like one young man was praying that morning in his time of prayer, "Lord, if you've really called me to Africa, to Chad, have, you know, someone confirm that I'm called to establish churches in the country of Chad and Africa." And then, you know, I feel impressed towards that young man and step forth in faith. It's always in faith. How many know? It's always in faith. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. Every time you step out to lay hands on someone to prophesy, it's like walking on the water every single time. And you got to crucify the flesh and you just do it. You just do it. And so I stepped out and said, "Come on up here," and laid hands on them. And all of a sudden, you know, I just saw a picture of the nation of Chad. And I said, "I just see you're going to be an apostle establishing churches. I don't know if this makes any sense to you in Africa. I think it's in the nation of Chad." And, you know, falling on his face. "I guess I got it right." And, you know, just... it was those type of words. One particular young lady, I went up to her, and I never met her before, and I said, "I believe God has a word for you." And so, of course, the students were wanting me, the man with the word, to go up, you know. And so I went up to her, and I said, "Truly, the Lord saw you this morning underneath the tree by the picnic table." So you say, "How do you know that?" Because near her apartment or flat, as a student, there was a picnic table and a big tree, you know, and the picnic table was sitting under the tree. And so you're either right or wrong when you give a word like that, correct? And I went on to say, you've been crying out to God and you were saying, "Lord, do I have a ministry among my people?" And the Lord would say, "Yea, my daughter, you have a ministry among my people." And the Lord would further say that you will marry a traveling minister and travel all over the world and have two children and just, you know, prophesy. And she's sobbing and she's weeping. I said, "Isn't that a great word, sister? Hallelujah." 9 weeks later, I married her. But anyway, I believe in fulfilling the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. For you that are students, that's one of those no-nos, all right? But God honored it. It's worked. We've been married almost 40 years. I know some of you are sitting there saying, "Oh, how has she put up with him?" No, that is the truth. If I do sit on a throne in heaven, which is probably improbable, but if I sit on a throne in heaven, here will be me and here will be my wife, Joy. Trust me, I know. But, I did a lot of prophesying. And the reason why was because I remember there was this elderly. Now, don't get upset when I say elderly, because he was, and you're this age, but you don't think you're elderly, all right? But he was in his late 80s. Okay, so if you're in your late 80s, you don't think you're elderly, fine. Okay, you're just in, you know, the midstream of life, you know. But when you're 17 and you're 88, 89, you're old, okay? And, you know, he was speaking for that week. And he's from England. He was one of the most articulate men, highly educated from Oxford, had the greatest message tongues with the interpretation. It was quite humorous because if one of the students would give out this message tongue, he always had the interpretation of any message tongue. And it was just profound. And it was really funny because we're just kids, you know, we're just stepping out, you know. So I remember one young man, you know, he gave this message tongue and here's Brother Duncombe and he goes, "Uh-huh, mm-hmm, oh yes, mm-hmm." He'd be up on the platform. You know, he's 89 years of it. "Mm-hmm. Son, would you repeat that last part?" "Are you kidding me? He'd try." Okay, that brought greater clarification. And then would just give this astounding, I mean, very, very specific, a very powerful interpretation of those tongues. It was just God speaking. And he said, "I was the one that, from England, I pastored, I don't remember exactly where, for many, many years, and he said, I met Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth came to my church many times in the late 30s and early 40s, and I brought him to America for the first time. And revolutionized my life and many people's lives. And you know, you got to understand, from us Yanks, us Americans, we appreciate the heritage of what we have in America spiritually because of England or Wales or Ireland. You know, you got to understand how much. You may not think this, especially because of the present administration, we will not go there. But as a whole in America, Americans love England. They love the British Isles. We paid a great price, just like you, amen, to keep freedom in this area of the world. And so there's a, you may not believe it, but there's a great love for the Brits, a great love, you know, for the British Isles. And Brother Duncan, you know, he brought Smith Wigglesworth over. It was great. And, of course, he had already gone on to be the Lord by the time I was in Bible school many, many years. But Brother Duncan was still alive. And this is a sidebar. What was so funny was he pastored Brother Duncan in a church in Indiana. And he talked about how that the first miracle that, you know who I'm talking about, Smith Wigglesworth? How many do not know who I'm talking about? Okay, everybody pretty much knows. You ought to read your history, all right? And, you know, Brother Wigglesworth was in this church, and the first miracle in America was this woman stood in front of him, had this huge cancer, and he was kind of rough and gruff. And so what Brother Wigglesworth did was he just slapped her face. Slapped that cancer, and it peeled off of her face and flew up in the air and stuck up on the wall, ceiling. It stuck there. And then after 5 minutes, it dropped down. It's kind of, ew, you know. But it left a brown mark. So years later, I'm in this church, and it's freshly painted and all. And I look up, and here's this brown spot. It's painted everywhere else but this brown spot. I said, Pastor, what's this brown spot? Oh, that was when Brother Wiggles was here 40-something years ago, you know, and we paint around it, but that's a sign to us of God's grace. I'm looking at the very brown spot, you know. I'm like, whoa, yeah, you know. Anyway, it's kind of funny. That was free. But anyway, I'm making a point here, and we're going to begin to minister. You know, Brother Duncan and others, you know, when they would, you know, come to the Bible school and they would share those stories and their teachings. I remember what he said. He said this, and there were other teachers that said the same thing. He said, I'm a product. I've got my own giftings, my own release that may be different than someone else, but I was greatly influenced by Smith Wigglesworth because Smith Wigglesworth laid hands on me and imparted the blessing, conference, transference of a particular unction and an attribute of the ministry and the life of Jesus. And so I've cultivated that. I'm here today, this is what Brother Duncombe said, to lay hands on you, students. But you need to realize it's not just that I'm laying hands on you. You need to understand it was because Brother Wigglesworth laid hands on me. So when I lay hands on you, it's as if like Brother Wigglesworth is laying hands on you. And by the way, Brother Wigglesworth was influenced by Mariah Woodworth Etter. And on and on and on through the generations. And that just struck me because, you know, we would have a man or a woman of God that would come that had great faith for miracles. And I would sit there as a student and I would say, now, Lord, I'm not trying to impersonate or mimic that man or woman's ministry, but whatever aspect of faith he or she is moving in, I want that aspect, an aspect of that imparted in my life. Or if it was a person that was a great teacher of the word, I want the wisdom that's in that person or the knowledge that's in that person. And of course, I'm speaking, I want you. You're the fullness of wisdom. You're the fullness of knowledge. You're the fullness of everything. But I just want that aspect of what you've worked out in their lives. Could there be a portion of that imparted within my life? And invariably, all of those teachers and ministers that came to us students, they would lay hands on us. And it was life transforming, life changing. In fact, almost every time those teachers that would lay hands upon us, I would enter into another encounter or another level of authority at 19 and 20 years of age. And then when Brother Duncombe laid hands on me, because Wigglesworth had laid hands on me, it was one week later at 19 years of age, I saw my first person raised from the dead. I'm serious. It's kind of humorous, not humorous, but yes, it was kind of humorous because she was eating a piece of chicken, you know, like a chicken leg, and she just, I don't know what happened. She swallowed the whole chicken and then went down, you know, her windpipe. So she suffocated and turned blue, and they couldn't get it dislodged, and so no pulse. I remember the nurses screaming and hollering, "Where's the doctor? Where's the doctor? Oh, he's golfing." And not really, that's the truth. And they're trying to massage her heart, pound it, trying to get the thing. She's gone. I mean, she's purple, you know, she's not breathing. It's funny now, but it wasn't then, because I was walking, you know, visiting, and I was walking past. It was like a hand grabbed me and threw me in this room. Right when I was thrown into this room with this lady, her daughter was feeding her this chicken piece, and it lodged into her windpipe. I'm standing right there, and I watched her. I just watched her stop breathing and turn purple, and, you know, I just had hands laid on me. I just got done reading Smith Wigglesworth book, you know, where if someone died, you know, he would pick them up and throw them up against the wall and say, "Walk, walk, walk," and they'd walk, wouldn't you? And, you know, I'm all, you know, pumped, you know. Well, you know how you are, students, you know. And yet when I saw this lady, every ounce of glory, anointing, and faith went out my toes. And I have to sadly say, I just turned around and walked out because I just didn't have it. And if I would have gone to the right, the elevators were there. But what happened was I went to the left. We were about the 10th story up. All there was the window, and I was not going to jump out. I wasn't that desperate, you know, to commit suicide. But I thought, oh my God, I got to turn around and walk past that room. Now, I teach in one of my books, you can read it, Overwhelmed by the Spirit. I teach that there's basically seven levels of speaking in tongues, if you haven't read it already. And level five is what I call emergency tongues. Just my own phraseology. How many has ever been there? How many know that? That's when you're in a situation like that, that's a good time to shundai. So I turned around and I'm praying in tongues. Now, the thing was, I was up in the ward for all of the lunatics. So I fit right in. I mean, they just thought I was one of the, you know, mates there, you know, in that ward, but I'm praying in tongues out loud, and it's like I was walking through spiritual thick mud, man. It was horrible, and I'm hearing the nurses, we can't find the pulse, can't get her breath, and they're bringing in the zapper machine, you know, and all that, you know, to get her heart started, you know, and oh my God, we can't get the chicken out of her, you know. So, you know, but as I began to pray in emergency tongues, something began to happen. Everybody say something. The only way I can describe it to you, it was like a cloak, like someone had taken a cloak, or someone had taken a pitcher of warm spiritual oil. And it just, and it reminds me in the Psalms when David's prayer was, anoint my head with fresh oil. And so, you know, it was like this cloak or this ooey gooey whatever, just, I could feel it just cover me. And as it hit my chest, I began to walk quicker. And by the time I was racing, and I was caught up in a transcendent encounter. It was not me. It was the Holy Ghost. I just was practically just running into that room. Well, there was five nurses. They didn't know I was coming in. Their backs were turned away from me, looking down at this woman trying to get her to breathe. And it was like the parting of the Red Sea. They just moved. I mean, they didn't even know I was. It was like this angel just moved them, kind of knocked them over, knocked them back to the side. And I went up to this lady, turned blue, wasn't breathing, whatever, laid my hand on her. I said, could you imagine these unsaved nurses? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, some of them may have been saved, barely. But, you know, just, you know, this just doesn't happen. And I said, I just rebuked the spirit of death. And all of a sudden, that chicken bone dissolved, just dematerialized. And she took a deep breath, and the color came back into her face. It was like 15 seconds. And she sat up, and she said, I'm hungry. She didn't say, I praise Jesus. Now, her daughter's on her knees saying, please, as if God had anything to do with this. Please, God's weeping and sobbing. God bless her. Don't take my mom. I just couldn't handle it. Please. And prior, you know, when I turned around and walked out, her daughter's weeping and sobbing. She looked up at me and she said, is there anything you can do? And that's when all the strength went out of me. And I had to walk out. It was quite, you know, I'm sure devastating for her. But when I went back in there, God raised her up. And I really believe it has a lot to do with many factors, but in particular, because of those precious men and women that came, and certain attributes of the Holy Spirit's unction and anointing in their lives, and the development of their faith, their knowledge, their wisdom. You know, I always felt, whoever's up there, Lord, I want some aspect of who you are imparted within my life. And I fall short like everyone else. I don't have everything. But I'm just saying that it was that type of impartation that forged within me a confidence to begin to step out, because I didn't know what the prophetic was. I didn't know what a personal prophecy was. You know what I'm saying? I hadn't read that yet. You know, it wasn't taught back in the early 70s. I just went out and did it. Just something would come to me and I would just share it. And like Samuel, the Bible says that he didn't allow any of the words to fall to the ground. And every word that I know, this is what's been told to me. I mean, you know, it was of God, and, you know, it blessed the students. And there's hundreds of them that are fulfilling those prophetic words all over the world. We give God all the glory and honor. So I'm here because if I lay hands on you and Pope John lays hands on you, I have to tease him, okay? And you need to understand, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about every person that has gone before us, that have paid a tremendous price. You know, I learned an elderly man, he was 90-something years of age. I spent probably 2 weeks with him, and he actually, for a 4-year period, traveled with Smith Wigglesworth. And he was in a revival outside of Scarborough, in there, a little town called Thwing. Wigglesworth was there for 4 weeks. And this elderly man was there in the meetings. And Thwing, boy, you have a creative way of naming towns. Thwing. What's another one? Come on, give me another one that's kind of human. Wet Wang. Oh, well. That's kind of pornographic, all right? You know, but... at least to an American, what? Good Manham? Leatherneck? That's a horror movie, all right? What else is there? What? Look, I can't even... I need interpretation when you talk. What?
Stanford Dingley?
Yeah.
Right next to Tux Clum.
Right next to what?
Tux Clum.
Tux Clum? I got to have one or two other ones. Kill him? Oh, my. I mean... You know, what was somebody thinking, you know, when they would come up with these names, you know, especially I love the Wet Wang. That one, you know, that has to be the most unique. But Thwing's right there, you know, Thwing, Thwing. But Wigglesworth ministered. And you know what? You're here in the Scarborough area because, you know, people have gone before you, and they've dug some wells to whatever degree. And, you know, you've redug those wells, and you're establishing something new and fresh. And when I say new and fresh, I'm not just talking about generically, you know, a move of God. I'm talking about the people of God. That there's a freshness that's imparted within your life, that you leave this place with the knowledge of the Savior of God. You know, I mean, there's a place in Scripture where it talks about, you know, we can be a savior of death unto those that are in death. We are a savior, not savior, but a savior of life unto those that desire life, a sweet-smelling savor. You know, an aroma is what it literally means. And these wonderful compounds were like an aroma that when, you know, priests were anointed, and the word, one of the definitions means to be consecrated, to be set apart for a particular office or service. When they were anointed, there was this fragrance that arose. I'm thoroughly convinced that there are angelic agents that when we have anointing of oil or impartation services of this nature, that they really participate with us. And they have, you know, certain incense and certain vials of, you know, spiritually, of course, and sometimes in the natural realm, you can sense the fragrance, and you can they're aiding in the impartation of what you're in need of, if that's wisdom or knowledge or faith or whatever. So, you know, you need to really, really realize that. I shared this morning how, and this is my last illustration, and then I'm just going to just read one thing here and just give you the, just I'm just going to mention it, you know, I might teach on it, what you're about ready to receive. Could you imagine a group of ladies and men that consistently in their life and ministry just stayed in the manifest presence of God? I know that sounds super spiritual. It's not for everyone. I mean, we're practical. You know, we've got to go to work. We've got to pay bills, raise our families. But that doesn't negate the fact that you can't wonderfully be anointed with the preciousness, the attributes of God. But there are individuals like these spiritual moms and dads that I grew up with that they just gave their life and saturated themselves in the presence of God. if you got around them at any conjuncture of time, it mattered not. There was just this amazing, overwhelming aroma. It was so sweet, so dynamic, this weightiness of God. I mean, if they just walked into a room, you were about knocked over because of the manifest presence of the Lord. Could you imagine having 40 of those precious people lay hands on you? You know, a young hippie, you know. I was being sanctified, wasn't quite there yet. I was a teenager. Just, you know, I had priorities. And this was my list of priorities at 18. My horses, my pickup, my dog, my girlfriend. She was not in the mall. I'm sorry. But you'd think it'd been the other way around. No, it was my horses first. My pickup. I had a real awesome pickup. No, I had a pickup where, you know, the tires were that tall. You're sitting way up there. Have you ever seen that on TV? Lifts, you know. And, you know, you're cruising up to the light or to the stop sign or the roundabout. And you could see everything and everybody down in their little car, you know. You know, you're trying to prove something, you know. It was a chick magnet. Let me tell you, it really was. But I usually have my dog in there, so there was no room, you know, for the, you know. It's a great pickup. But anyway, I just had other priorities. I loved the Lord, but I mean, you know, I wanted to serve God my way. Okay? And how many know God has a way of breaking you and has a way of getting his way? Right? And I shared the other night how Catherine Kuhlman, well, that ruined me. You know, that did it. And other ministries as well that laid hands on, you know, I mean, it was just impartation. I believe in impartation. Now, I don't believe in impartation to this extent where everything, you know, I have these kids from Bethel and different places, students, you know, not just Bethel, but others, that come up to me and, you know, they're all of 16. 17. And it's like when I was a professor at Christ for the Nations, we'd get 1,600 kids in the, you say autumn, it's the fall, in the fall that would come. And it was always funny because they're all 17 years of age, some 16, but they would always, you know, the ones that were there in their second or third term, they'd already gone through all the girls and all the guys and couldn't find the ones. So the new crop would come in. So they're like magnets. You know what I'm trying to say? Around October, I'm in love, you know. It's just ridiculous. And then about March, they would start breaking up because it wasn't of God. And March was our inner healing month. We got more accomplished in the lives of the students in the month of March than any other month. And just, you know, just funny. You know, yeah, you're ready to get married. You're still playing Nintendo, all right? You know, and, you know, just silliness. But, you know, all of these wonderful students, you know, that would just come and go, and they would always come up to me. And every time I go to Bethel, you know, in different schools, they'd come up to me, and these kids looking up at me and say, "Now, Brother Maloney, I want everything that's in your life to be imparted upon me right now, instantaneously. You do not know what you ask." What do you mean? Are you willing to pick up the cup and pay the price? Now, I don't believe that's what impartation is about. I want everything that you're moving in. And see, here's the problem. I got some of these young pups. There's about six of them. that, you know, I laid hands on them. Now they have an angel that stands next to them. And they advertise it. Dr. Maloney laid hands on me. Now I have my angel that stands next to me and speaks into my ear. But the problem is I've watched them and I've heard them, and 80-90% of what they share is wrong. That's okay. You know, they mean well. But the point, that's not it. It's what God wants you to move in and how He wants you to operate and what giftings are to be expressed. I don't believe in impartation to that degree, though there could be an exception there, but I believe that there is an impartation, something that's already deposited within you. The treasure's there. There's nothing that I have or John has or any of us have that you don't already have abiding within you. You have the same Holy Spirit. We just want to help activate it. You know, turn a key or something and just get you moving and grooving in God and liberated and freed up and have fun and, you know, be relaxed about it. You know what I'm trying to say? Not so uptight like I used to be. You know, in my 20s, I was a wild man. Oh, some of the kids in ministry today in their 20s, if I were to have done back then, 38 years ago, what they're permitted to do now, and it's a norm, I would have been ostracized as a heretic. Really, honestly. There's so much more freedom and liberty to experiment. And, you know, all I know is my question always is, would Jesus ministered that way? Would Jesus administered that way? It's not that difficult. Read the Gospels. Would he have, just picture that, would he administered that way? In some instances, absolutely not. So that's all we're trying to do is just, you know, reproduce what, you know, Jesus moved in and operated in. It's not you and I that lives, of course, but Christ that lives within us. And it takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know that. It already abides in that you. You've read it in 1 John 2. It's already yours. Tell the person next to you, look at them, say it's yours. It's already abiding within you. So here's what's going to be imparted, and I'm closing. One of the principal compounds, I'm just going to mention them, is myrrh. Everybody say myrrh. Myrrh is a painkiller. It could be, if it's properly prepared, taken internally, smeared externally. It speaks spiritually about love, having an agapeo love, but also experiencing some kind of suffering and paying the price for that kind of, you know, expression of the Lord. It's actually a sticky substance that kind of sticks on you. So what that means is, and let me just put it in this context for this wonderful church, if this is your home church. I believe you are a refuge. Everybody say refuge. That's what the word sanctuary means, a refuge. And I realize the principle of going out, what you've received, and take it with you. But I also believe in the principle that local churches of this nature, ministries, are like a refuge from that which is outside. So every time someone comes in from the outside and you are anointed with the holy anointing oil and myrrh is a part of that compound, every hurt, every wound, and every bruise in their life are to be healed. That's what it means. That's what it literally means. The second compound, there's just a couple, cinnamon. Say it with me, cinnamon. I couldn't pronounce that word for years. Cinnamon. Cinnamon. And cinnamon is really actually a fruit. And if it's prepared a certain way, it is flammable. It catches fire very, very easily. And this speaks about the zeal of God. the jealousy of God. It means to glow or to burn. So every time someone from the outside or they come in contact with you, you're kind of like the habitation of God. That when they come under the resting of God's presence in your life or this corporate body, every hurt, wound, and bruise are to be healed. But also, there's to be the restoration of the zeal and the fire of God. Hallelujah. Spirit fire, heaven fire. Oh, that's a great message. Heaven, wait till my next book comes out here in a couple of months. It's about heaven fire. You know, we speak about hellfire, but how many know there's a heaven fire? Every one of you shall be salted with fire. So in a few moments, when hands are laid upon you, fire! Myrrh. Fire. Calamus. And calamus is derived from the cane out in the fields, the water fields. They grow up in the midst of the lilies, in the miry stream beds, which of course we, grow up and straight up and out of those miry stream beds. We are raised up the midst of sin and perversion and, you know, degradation, but yet we stay holy unto the Lord. This is what calamus represents. It means the flower when it comes into fruition. From the cane, it's got the most beautiful fragrance. When it's crushed, you have the fragrance. And what this means is when people come in from the outside, every hurt, wound, and bruise is going to be healed. The zeal of God is going to be restored in their life. But also, you and I as the people of God, and them as well, that when we get hurt, when we get wounded or bruised, we remain fragrant. It speaks of forgiveness. That's what it speaks about. Don't you think Paul could have been embittered when every single person the Bible says turned on him, even the ones that walked with him? But he remained fragrant. There's going to be a whole lot of betrayals. This is a whole other message, the Judas kiss. I received more than one. You know. Sad to have someone hug you on one side and then stab you in the back on the other. But you've got to learn that the holy anointed oil, the Holy Spirit abides within you and remain fragrant when you have been crushed. It speaks of, you know, there's sweetness about the ways of God, but then there's also, sometimes it can in the flesh kind of be bitter, bitter and sweet, sweet, bitter. But that's okay because it's how we mature and how we grow. Amen. Cassia. Everybody say it with me. Cassia. Cassia. I'm almost done. Cassia is, it's derived from the bark of a tree. It means to split, to tear down, to purge. Did you know that? That's what cassia means. It means to split, purge, or tear down. It literally means to stoop. This speaks of worship, humility, brokenness. This is some of the attributes. Let me tell you, these will be the attributes that this church is going to be noted for in this community. This is what impartation is all about. So when hands are laid upon you, you're anointed with oil. Whatever aspect or attribute that you're in need of, and we all fall short in various areas, if not all of them, what God, the Holy Spirit's going to do is activate and enhance. Amen. It's the olive oil that enhances those spices. Praise God. Amen. And you're going to leave this place smelling good. Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you. Kind of take a sniff. Tell them, thank God, in a few moments, you're going to be anointed. Hallelujah. It means sacrifice. It means worship. It means humility. And then lastly, the oil of the Holy Spirit. You know, someone asked me, and I'm closing with this, how come we don't see greater miracles in the church. Now, let me preface what I'm about ready to say by saying this firstly. The church as a whole in the world, here's a problem with Americans. I don't know if it's a problem here, but at least I know it's in America. I can say this. Sometimes American ministries think the whole world revolves around their ministry or around that nation. That's just one small aspect of 7 billion people in 280-some nations. There is a lot of powerful people that you will never hear of until we are in eternity that are accomplishing great things for God and are amazingly anointed, that have raised the dead. I like the little grandma that, this is her ministry at 77 years of age, that when one of the children in Africa die, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, this is her ministry. That they just give the dead baby. Now, you couldn't do this in America, or probably not even here, but in this African nation, they just give it to Sister So-and-so, and she has this rocker, you know, in the back of this little room, and she just grabs the dead baby and just starts rocking and praying in tongues. And, you know, sometimes it'll just take a few moments. Sometimes it'll take 7 to 9 hours. But every single kid comes back to life. She's seen over 45 of them. That's her ministry. How would you love to have a ministry like that? No, we'd quit after 10 minutes. At least I would. You know, just rock and pray in the Spirit, love on them. They're dead, cold. Some of them have been dead for 2 days because it took the parents to get them there 2-3 days. And she just rocks, and after about 6-7 hours, they come back to life. Awesome. What a ministry. Amen. What a fragrance. What, you know, but they, you know, they always come up to me, how come we don't see greater miracles in the church, in the Western mentality? My response is this. You know, I think we ought to be thrilled, glad that anybody gets healed in England or America. You say, well, why do you say that? Because to me, America, I don't know about England, but America is like one great big hometown Nazareth. And you know the story in Mark 6, he could therefore do no mighty work because of their unbelief. There's a lot of religious unbelief. That's changing. Can I say, hear a hearty amen? That's changing. I said, that's changing. But one of the words for the holy anointing oil is the Hebrew word shemen. Everybody say shemen. S-H-E-M-E-N. Shemen means a weightier compound, a thicker compound of it. If you take a truly prepared with those spices oil and you let that bottle sit for a lengthy period of time, what happens to that oil if it sits there? It becomes thickened. It becomes thickened. And one of the reasons why we're not seeing greater miracles in the church, because our current level of anointing isn't thick enough. And it needs to be thickened. This is why I believe in churches like this that take the time and praise and worship and lay before the Lord. I believe in this principle of saturation, or as they call it in Bethel, marinating. Okay, whatever. Yeah, kids. You know, I mean, one said pickling. I don't know if that's good. Pickling. I just believe tonight that your spiritual oil, which, can I say, it's been 2 years since I've been here last, there's a lot of wonderful changes that I see. I can see it from a different perspective from the outside. Wonderful changes in a good way. I can see that maybe you've gone through some sifting. That's good. Some people needed to move on, right? You've remained. If you're visiting from another church, okay, you're here. It's for you as well. But the core group here, look, you've matured. You've changed in a good way. You're going from glory to glory. There's a greater weightiness of God upon you. Your Shemin anointing is thicker. It's getting ooey gooey. And that's good. That's awesome. And so tonight, there's just certain ministries that, and what it's what we term is the prophetic oil. Apostles and prophets, I understand, this is my last statement, Zechariah 4, it speaks about, you know, in Zechariah 4, it speaks about, you know, in the last days, that there's going to be, how's it phrased, two, I could read it right now, huh? Yeah, don't turn to it, John. You take too long, you know. There are two witnesses, correct? Two witnesses? Now, I know that end time prophetic people interpret that when the Antichrist is coming against the church, that, you know, it'll be Elijah or Moses or Enoch. And there's probably truth in that. But can I submit this to you? You may think it's out of context, but there's always an application for us today. I believe those two witnesses can represent the apostolic, I don't have time to define that to you, what that means, and the prophetic. And they're two witnesses. And it says out of the two witnesses, there are golden pipes. And golden oil is piped into, you know, poured into their pipes to light the lampstand, which is you, sevenfold Spirit of God resting upon you. Two witnesses with golden pipes. Now, I believe that we have a spiritual golden pipe here tonight. The Holy Spirit is pouring oil. You're the candlestick. It's the Holy Spirit within you. And you know what? We just want to anoint. Amen? And enhance what's already within you. If you need fire ignited once again back into your heart, whew, come aflame, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. If you're hurting and wounded, there's myrrh for you here tonight. And everything you receive is for the purpose of reproducing it and imparting that same anointing oil to others out there. This is a refuge. You're going to find a whole lot of hurting folks out here in Scarborough. They're going to be coming under this refuge. And you know what they're going to find? A loving but uncompromising people that's lifting up a standard, but yet loving, non-condemning, that's going to embrace them. Are you hearing this? And they're going to see the reality of who God is. And they're going to be wooed and drawn because of the fragrance and because of the richness that they see and the reality that they experience that's in your life. You have, let me tell you something, you were wonderful 2 years ago and 3 years ago and 4 years ago and 5 years, I don't know how long I've been here. But it's different. I'm telling you right now, you're a different group. In a good way. Aren't you glad you've changed? Tell the person next to you, look at them and say, thank God you've changed. I mean, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm just saying, thank God you've changed. You know, thank God we're growing up, aren't we? You know, I mean, we're learning a few things and going higher and getting deeper and rooted and grounded in the love of God. So it's time to... Let's pray. Father, I address you, Father, the one who is high and lifted up. Your glory fills this temple. Jesus, I also speak to you as our faithful high priest and the apostle of our profession. The Holy Spirit, you abide within us, as well as the Spirit of Christ, the whole Godhead. Thank you. Thank you for what you've already accomplished. I believe, Father, that the greatest miracles that this church is going to experience and encounter is going to happen through these precious people when you least expect it, because you've made yourself available. They're going to happen, and no one is going to get the credit. No one is going to get the glory, but only you. So, Father, I pray that you will honor John's word of exhortation, my word, and tonight, would you bridge the generations? It's a transgenerational anointing. Let them realize that when hands are laid upon them, it's because of Wigglesworth, Charles Duncombe, Mariah Woodworth Eder, John Alexander Dowie. We could go on and on and on. And other streams and other ministers that laid hands on us prophetically, evangelistically. Come on, let's just pray right now. In the wisdom of knowledge and teaching, et cetera, and all of those attributes and aspects that's represented in this wonderful congregation. Everything of who you are is represented in every believer here. Everyone has their vein slant expression of who you are, their uniqueness to impart that and reveal that to people that are in need. Oh, Father, that's what's so wonderful about the body of Christ. I pray that you seal upon their spiritual forehead everything that you have imparted. Nothing shall be lost. Nothing shall be stolen from them. Nothing. They're going from glory to glory. Let me say something. I'm speaking prophetically, and we're going to begin to pray. You know what? We talk about, you know, I love these end time prophetic people that talk about, well, there's going to come a day that people's foreheads or hands, and it may happen, you know, that will be marked with this 666 mark. But we seem to forget in Revelation 6, and it's also found in Ezekiel, where the people of God's forehead was marked and sealed. You can't touch these people whose forehead has been sealed by God. So tonight, your spiritual forehead is going to be sealed. That means everything that has been imparted in your life, none of it's going to be lost. I don't care if you feel like you've been like a leaking vessel. Things have been poured in you, and because of the difficulties and circumstances of life, it's kind of leaked out. God can retrieve it all. God can bring it all. I mean, brethren, I want you to understand what's happening here. This is going to be fun. Amen. But it's a time of consecration. So there is joy with it. There, you know, because it's part of the holy anointing oil. You know, there's joy, there's euphoria, but there's also a sense of just reverential fear in a good way, not bad fear, good fear, just something holy, and just, you're going to leave with a zeal and a jealousness for your God. Amen. 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 And I pray that you would just get your eyes off of any vessel that God uses, myself, John, or whomever, and just when we anoint you, just envision generations of certain attributes of God being released in your life, just being transferred. I give you my inheritance. It's yours. I give it to you. Do you want it? If you receive it, you don't understand what I'm saying. I give you this. I can't say this everywhere I go. Frances Metcalf, before she died and went on to be with the Lord, said there will be certain regions and churches that you will be commissioned of God, that all of the attributes, all of our intercessions, fastings, high praise, everything that we entered into, you can be the conduit to transfer all of our discipline for 53 years, and it will just instantaneously come upon a congregation, and they will just take it to another level. Amen. So you know what? God spoke to me and said, you're one of those congregations. And John will tell you that I don't say that everywhere I go. For some congregations, it would be like, and I don't mean this critically, casting your pearls before the swine. They're not ready. You are. It's yours. If you want it. I don't know. I'm not convinced you want it. So I don't know. No, I don't. No. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. You know, let me anoint myself. Okay. Let's worship him. Now, you know, I appreciate the, you know, what a great praise and worship team. Guys. Come on. I mean, I know you don't take it for granted, but hello. That's good. You'd be surprised how many conferences I go to that are they're the best of the best. I want to take all of you, transport you to America. Some of you are going. Teach those Americans, you know, how to really worship the King. Yeah. You know, I love all the songs that are coming out. I really do. They're, you know, testimonies about what God has done in my life. And there's a place for all of that. I love the Bethel culture and Hosanna. And, well, that's years ago, you know. Dates me, doesn't it? What's the other? Hill songs and all that. You know. They're wonderful. They have their place. They really do. But, you know, there's something missing. Worshiping the King directly. They need to get back into that. And I know you've seen some Bethel songs, and they're wonderful. They really are. There can be a little bit of shallowness. It's kind of self-centered, what Jesus has done for me, instead of just, hey, you know. I've talked with Bill Johnson about it. He says, I know, we're talking to the worship team, and you're going to see some changes. See, I have inroads with them. I can say things that other ministers can't. So I just tell them like it is, you know. And he's teachable. So, you know, you can't ever get a word out of him, but he's teachable. But just, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, just come up higher in it. And yes, have the testimonies and have the song of the bride to the bridegroom and the bridegroom's song to the bride and the Moses' song of testimony, you know, of how he delivered us and brought us out. I mean, they're all important. They all have their place in praise and worship. But the thing I appreciate about this ministry and Kingdom Faith is that, boy, you center on the King. And that's what brings the manifest presence of God down. Not that it doesn't as well in the other songs. It's just it's a higher, deeper, and it's life-changing. So I'm just trying to tell you. You say, you don't know. You're not a worship leader. Oh, you don't know. More so than you realize. I spent over 25 years leading in praise and worship, going all over the world, and led my wife and I in praise and worship in the 70s and 80s. You may not think it, but I do have a halfway decent voice. But casting demons out of people and croaking and screaming when the microphone went out, there's 100,000 people, I kind of lost that high baritone, rich, operatic voice. You may not realize, but I had 2 scholarships to go to operatic school. My level is a 4.5 octave, or it was 4.5 octave level. 4.5 octave. Now it's 1.5. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you that. I'm bragging on myself. That was all the flesh. Anyway, had nothing to do with God, the anointing, or anything. So, you know, what we want to do is we want to, have you noticed I'm a lot stronger than I was 2 years ago when I was here? Yeah. See, 2 years ago, I was in Funkyville when I was here. Just, I was already going through the process of facing, you know, infirmity. But I'm on the other end. Hallelujah. I'm getting there. So Pope John here is going to administer the sacraments. So you're going to be required when he anoints you with oil to stick your tongue out. No, I'm drunk up here. This is your fault, Paul. I'm drunk. I'm actually drunk. I don't get drunk in the spirit. And it's not because I had a pint. My wife's a teetotaler. I'm a German. It's beer. But anyway, I'm drunk up here. My God. Let me gain my composure. Just everybody pray. Just, you know. Quit laughing. Hallelujah. It's making it worse. And don't sit there and do more. That's dangerous. I love to go to those churches. More. Oh, God. Where is my gentleman from London who's... I would say African-American, but he's black. He's not African-American. I got to stay kosher, you know. Oh, it's being taped, you know. No, you don't have to do it. It's being CD'd. That dated me, taped. Come here. Face me. Let's bless this man. The yoke is destroyed by reason of the anointing. There's been a yoke for 3 years of desperation and discouragement, but yet the doors that have been closed have been purposely closed, that at the appointed time, the right door will be opened at the right time. Even in this year, particularly this summer months, there is going to be a door that shall be opened. It may seem insignificant. Go through that door, because that door will cause your gift to make room for you and bring you into a greater sphere of influence. This is your portion and heritage. I must have one that is strategically positioned as an elder in the city, upon the city walls. This speaks of not just ministry in the tabernacle, but it speaks of ministry in the workplace. It's a dual operation. You have a very powerful prophetic intuitiveness, your wife as well, I believe. And the Lord says that this is something that must be released. And I've been storing up insight and revelation, even while you've been sleeping at night, you not fully realizing that I'm preparing you for such a time as this, for the season of your life, that when you're strategically put in that position, there's going to be a lot of confusion amongst key people that can release tremendous funds into the city, into the nation, but it's bound up. It's all tied up. I'm going to place upon you, saith the Lord, as you continually honor me and humble yourself and trust in me, that Daniel unction, where Daniel had understanding in dissolving doubts, things that were tied up, unraveling the issues, and line upon line saying, these are the steps that must be taken to unravel what's being held up. And they're going to take heed to the wisdom that I'm going to impart within your life. And it's going to cause great increase to come, even to unsaved people that don't understand the gifts that are within you. And then they're going to ask you, what is it? They're going to ask to know the answer of what God has deposited within your spirit. Then you're going to have that inroad. Then you're going to have that word spoken in due season. Then you're going to have that greater unction to speak into their lives and move more supernaturally, where the captives will be set free. Understand, there is going to be somewhat of a connection with the government. I don't know what I see here, but it's going to be in a specific area where there will be governmental officials that will be working with certain individuals that you will come in contact with, and some of them are secretly born again, and you're going to connect with their spirit and their spirit with yours, and there's just going to be the spirit of counsel. But with the spirit of counsel, as you relate and share, the might of my spirit is going to be released and activated and cause a breakthrough. Because I am, saith the Lord, the God of the breakthrough. And this is going to be the greatest revelation you're going to have of me, saith the Lord, as the God of the breakthrough. So trust, entrust. Realize, I know you're going through a time of leanness. I know you're going through a time of testing. But my provision, has it not been there? Have I not met the need? You have not begged. You have not done anything but called upon me. And so now the Lord says, because you have been abased, now you're going to abound. I'm in the midst of all of it. It's time for you to begin to abound. You're going to begin to abound. So I take the mantle of authority that so many have operated and moved in and walked in the name of the spirit of wisdom, even as Moses laid his hands upon young Joshua. Not that I consider myself a Moses, but just the analogy, as Moses laid his hands upon young Joshua and took of his honor and placed it upon Joshua. And the word of the Lord says that the spirit of wisdom from that moment forward came upon Joshua. So has it come upon you. Amen. It is a cloak that will not lift off, be torn off, thrown off. It's the weightiness of God's cloak of authority and wisdom. The greatest gift you're going to be noted for is wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. Woo-hoo. I want this distinguishing looking guy with this beard, and if your spouse is with you, is that your spouse? That is your spouse. That's your girlfriend.
32 years and counting.
You know, you do need to get married. You know.
That's the married bit.
Let's bless both of them right now. Can I take a few moments and prophesy? Is that all right? Can I? I know they want me to, but can't. We'll not be here later. We're going to anoint with oil here in a minute. This is my last night. Hush. Just sit there and receive. What is this, Paul? Oh, this is your place. Nobody leaves. The doors are locked. Even as David had an armor bearer in the foxhole, do you know the armor bearer was just as radical as David? When the Philistines, it's not Philistines, it's Philistines. When the Philistines came against David and Jonathan, I mean, there were many, but there were just two in the foxhole. Can you imagine the radical statement that was made? We can go up and defeat them. 2 against 100. As God is on your side, who can be against you? This is what the body of Christ needs. It needs pillars. Pillars established in the Church of Jesus Christ that are unmovable. In the midst of turbulence and change and variation, there are people that stand. Because they are married to the vision. They are married to the people. And they're like spiritual moms and dads that gather the chicks underneath their wings. That's you too. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your calling is. But the point I'm trying to say is that, you know what? It doesn't matter if someone goes into the battlefield or someone stays and protects the provision and the children and the people. They all get the same reward. It's all important. And so the Lord wants you to know that I'm going to take the wisdom and the expertise of your life, what you have forged together, what you have prayed and interceded, what you have in a visionary way have seen, but yet you haven't seen the fullness of the fulfillment of what can be accomplished, and trust the word of the Lord that in your lifetime, you're going to see that vision come to pass, and you're going to see the multitudes that are going to be swept into activation in the supernatural, and you're going to have a distinctive part in activating and releasing them in the love of God. If there's anything you two are to be noted for, is that you are loving, accepting, you are ones that discern. Man looks on the outward appearance, but you look upon the heart. You're not critical or judgmental, but you can look through people's eyes and really see what's behind those eyes. Really see what's within their heart. So the Lord says that you're both going to be a therapy to many, many people. You're going to have your home opened more than ever before. You're going to have ministry opportunity to cause people to soak and come under healing inwardly, to come under healing and deliverance inwardly as well as outwardly, and see people made whole. Oh, let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, that word is not just specifically for them. If you're sitting there and you're saying, boy, that's just exactly what I need to hear as well. That fits me. Receive it. Yeah. All right? It's for many people in this congregation. Because all we're doing is prophesying what God has already spoken in the canon of Scripture. So I want this gentleman here, right here, with something hanging on your neck. Yeah, you. Come here. He's unique in a good way. When God created him, he broke the mold. Amen. The world can only handle one of him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's bless him right now. You went through a tremendous time of, I'm going to use a strong word, disillusionment. And it's because of the circumstances of life, even that started at a very early age. There was just this teaching or this concept that you had to grow up a lot quicker. You had to face adversity at a younger age. You had to stand on your own 2 feet at a very early age. This is what was taught. Not saying that you weren't loved, it's just that it was just an environment that just required you to rise up. And it's not been easy. It has not been easy because there's a lot of things that you wanted to see fulfilled. They haven't yet been fulfilled. A lot of those things, the reason why they haven't been fulfilled is because it's really not my perfect will. And I know maybe you don't want to hear that, but it's just, I know you better than you know yourself. I know what you're in need of. I know what your soul longs to see fulfilled. But you cannot bring forth that which is not yet time for. It's kind of like, brother, I'm seeing a cloth that's dry and you're trying to wring moisture out of a dry cloth. But the Lord says that you're not going to miss my best. You're coming into completion, perfection in me. You're coming into, and you've got a great childlike faith. And, you know, it's I'll tell you what I see. You as well, you're an armor bearer. You're like a deacon. I mean, you know, there's just people that just have to do certain things in the body of Christ to cause things to run smoothly. And that's your gift. You're a man that has worked, a man that has built, a man that has made things with your hands, manufactured things. And so the Lord is going to take all of that creativeness and give you a position that will cause many to be drawn to the love of the Lord, because you know you're no nonsense. You'll just get right in a person's face and tell them just the way it is. And I'm talking about out here in the street, right around here, boy. There's just going to be a whole lot of folks who are just going to just go right into the pubs, get right into their... Is there pubs around here? Get right into their face. I don't know. Is there? Get right into their... Is there one right next door? Get right into their face and just, you know, love them.
Amen.
But speak to them in kindness, but uncompromising integrity. And realize that I'm going to minister to the areas of your need and your life and what you want to see fulfilled. And you know, you love people, and you know, it's sometimes difficult for some individuals to kind of understand the uniqueness of what you have. But I'm going to give them understanding. I'm just going to cause them to see all that I am in you. And it's going to come forth. Hallelujah. And it's going to be like a contagious faith. Oh, you're going to be infectious in your faith. You're going to be contagious. And it's just a time for you to realize that I'm turning a page in your life. I'm going to start writing a whole new chapter. And old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. And you got to just kind of let go of the 20s and 30s and all of the dumb, stupid, ridiculous things that as a teenager that we all have gotten involved into, and just realize that that's baggage that's been thrown off, and now you're a new creation and you're free, glory to God, to serve the Lord. And okay, you made some decisions, made some mistakes, lost something very dear and precious to you, but I'm going to restore unto you, saith the Lord, everything that the canker worm, the pommel worm, and the caterpillar have eaten. Enough, it's yours, because I'm a God of restoration. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Woo. I like that guy. You got to forgive me. I'm not used to wearing glasses, and I must now at 58 start to wear glasses because of my funky eye, which is straightening out. It's just taking a little bit of time. It's horrible. It's horrible to look in the mirror where previously you saw perfection. And then, you know. I'm teasing. I'm not being serious. Okay, you know. And just, oh, it's so humbling. Yeah. It's really humbling when I had, John was there, when I had a couple and they had the little boy, but I was seeing double. I said, those are the most identical twins I've ever seen in my life. There's only one, Brother Maloney. It's kind of embarrassing. You know what I'm trying to say? It really is. You ready to be anointed? I wish I had another day or two with you so I could prophesy more. So, you know, maybe next time around. It's hot in here. What is heat? Heat in England? Heat in Scarborough? It's supposed to be cool, cold. Right? What's going on? Is this May? Yeah. Last time I was here in May, it was cold. Anyway, we're neat people. Wonderful people. Okay, what we want to do is, I'm going to just do this traditional, I don't know where the speaker system is, it's up there, so anytime I get close to that speaker or that, this thing buzzes. So what I'm going to do, generally it does, what I'm going to do is just kind of turn it off, and what we want to do is begin to anoint. Please don't treat this as just another, he's laying hands on me, nothing's going to happen type. You know, if you come up with that attitude, nothing's going to happen. But if you come up with the attitude like, this is my time for all of these attributes to be enhanced. This is my moment for my miracle to be completed. This is my moment for wisdom to be imparted in my life. He actually turned the air conditioner off. That's the problem. It's too loud. It's like a train going by. But thank you. Just if I lay my hands on you, and trust me, I'm not going to push your head. I'm not going to say wham, bam, and all that nonsense. I'm not going to spit on you unless God tells me to. I've had God tell me that. You know how hard that is? When God tells you, spit on him. Are you sure? Spit on them. They get healed. Or punch them in the stomach. Oh, that's a good one. Or knock the crutches out from underneath them. Oh, my God. Oh, the things I have done. Oh, God's so merciful. He's covered me. But, you know, I'm more seasoned now. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but, you know, we just want to anoint you with oil. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from left to right. And what Pope John is going to do is he's going to anoint you with oil when you stick your tongue out. And you know, I went to an anointing oil service one time, and the preacher had this big bucket. And it was full of oil. He took his whole hand. Everybody got it. Ruins your clothes. Everything. Now, I'm not going to do that, okay? Now, listen, if you're uncomfortable here tonight and coming forward, we're not going to, you know, interpret that as you being unspiritual. It's just you may not be ready for this, or you may feel you already have certain things working in your life and the Holy Spirit. That's fine. That's okay. Honestly, really, really. In fact, you know, if that's the case, you know, be merciful to the man of God. Don't just be coming up to be coming up. You know, I need to rest because I got to go to Germany, minister to 2,000 pastors, okay? Russian pastors. Russian. So, you know, in Germany, that's an oxymoron, isn't it, right? Germany, Russians, anyway. But the thing is, it's just when the hands are laid upon you, just receive. There's going to be some men, guys, get ready, that'll be standing behind you. That's not some mental suggestion that you got to fall. In fact, don't fall. But if you're overwhelmed, they're there to support you, you know, whatever. But they're just there to support. But don't let that be some mental suggestion that you got to fall. I don't have a ministry of falling under the power. Have I seen thousands, tens of thousands fall under the power? Absolutely. I've seen as many as 50,000 people fall at one time. But, you know, it's just, I want you to receive, okay? So you're sitting there, you're saying, would you shut up and get to it? I know what you're thinking. So when you're ready, you know, let's just make a line. This nice, long, you know, from this wall to the couch over there, and John's going to anoint you with oil, and I'm just going to touch your forehead. And if I have a prophetic word, I'll give it. See, I'm getting...
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.